Luke 22 from verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretch forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. And it's particularly the words that we have in verse 50 and 51. One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Have you ever wondered what the difference is between a snapshot that you might take and a proper photograph that you would find in a magazine? I think one of the big differences is that when a professional photographer takes an image, that they are careful in their composition and in their selection of the subject to draw out details. And sometimes it's by emphasizing small details that the photographer is able to convey something significant about the whole subject. And here, in these two verses, we have a detail, a small detail, which is given to us in a narrative of our Lord's being betrayed, arrested, condemned, and killed. And this small detail reveals to us some of the great wonder of the whole of the gospel. There's some reference made to this in all four gospels. Only John tells us the name of the disciple, Peter, who took the sword, and also the name of the servant whose ear was struck off. His name was Malchus. But it's only Luke who gives us the detail that Jesus healed Malchus. And it's this, the healing of the ear of Malchus, that I want us to consider particularly tonight. The first thing we need to note is the malice with which he and this great multitude came. The malice, their wholehearted hatred of the Lord Jesus. We're told in Matthew and Mark that it was a great multitude. It was a small army. There was conceivably a couple of hundred men who came to arrest and take Jesus. And they're armed. They have swords and they have staves, they have sticks and they have torches. And there is a determined purpose, not simply to arrest, but to arrest so that he might be destroyed. And in order to fulfill that, the chief priests, the Pharisees, they're prepared to bribe, they're prepared to manipulate, they're prepared to lie. They will have Jesus killed. Why? Because there is great malice, there is hatred. Some of these men are the ones who, in daylight, would listen to the Lord speak in the temple. And they would plot, and they would scheme, but they would do nothing in the daylight. Because in the daylight they would appear wise, noble, learned. But now in the darkness, there's less restraint, isn't there? We're told that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so in the moonlight, perhaps with a boldness because of their numbers, this multitude advance upon the Lord Jesus. Here, the serpent is prepared to strike. And we see men are not unwilling instruments, but willing and ready. And we read in John's Gospel that when our Lord presented himself, that the multitude fell back. What our Lord said was, "I am," is that revelation of divinity, the name of God. "Who do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am," he said. And they all fell back on the ground. But you see their determined hatred, because they picked themselves up and pressed on. They didn't stop to say, "What was that?" They were not filled with fear and reverence at this majesty of this man, but rather, they will bind him and he will be beaten and he will proceed to the brutality of the cross. And Malchus, why was he struck by Peter? Well, he was struck because clearly he was at the front. As they gathered themselves off the ground, and as they came forward, here's Malchus. And he will put his hands upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe he wants to be the first to do so. We're told here that he is the servant of the high priest. And that suggests that he was a man with some status. And perhaps he wants to prove his credentials. He wants to show that he is the servant of the high priest. The high priest, of course, is not here because he's too grand a man to get his hands dirty doing this, but he's waiting for the prisoner to be brought to be condemned. And so there's Malchus in his place. And Malchus perhaps is really saying to the multitude, "Come on, we can sort this out. Don't be so foolish. Stand on your feet and let's seize him." And so as he goes forward to take Jesus, the disciples say, "Lord, shall we fight?" And without waiting for an answer, Peter pulls his sword and he lashes out at Malchus. And Malchus tries to evade the blow, but not perfectly. And we're told that his right ear was cut off. The malice of the multitude, the malice of Malchus. And this is the malice, friends, that all men by nature have toward Christ. That's not what we often think about. We think of those who do not believe. Sometimes people describe themselves as those who cannot believe. But the scripture reveals to us the true status of the unbelieving heart, that it is set against God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the carnal mind, that's the unregenerate, unconverted man or woman, boy or girl, the carnal mind is enmity against God. What we see in the multitude and what we see in Malchus and coming ready to seize and lay their hands upon the Lord Jesus Christ is a raw version, an unrestrained version of the malice that exists in all unbelieving hearts. We sang in Psalm 14. And Psalm 14 tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the psalmist there is not mocking a man who just doesn't get it by calling him a fool. But rather, the psalmist is revealing the madness of the man who, knowing there is a God, denies that. Because all men know there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And though the heavens do not declare the gracious nature of God as shown in the scriptures, the heavens declare there is a God. And so to say there is no God is to say something that you know is not true. And so that person is described as a fool. But that willing self-delusion comes because of the malice, because of the hatred. It's as if to say, well, God's irrelevant, to treat him with contempt. Malice. The malice of the multitude. The malice of Malchus. But the malice of all men. But against the backdrop of this malice, I want you to see the great mercy of God. The atmosphere is electric as this multitude arrive to arrest the Lord Jesus. And as they fall back and as they stumble back onto their feet and as they press on and as Malchus reaches out and as Peter lashes with his sword, as Malchus evades but yet his ear is cut off, and in the midst of this, Jesus says, suffer ye thus far. He speaks a word of authority, and this word stops any escalation. He stops Peter. He stops Malchus. He stops the multitude. And with his hand, which they will take in a moment and bind and leave bound as he is taken and accused before the high priest, of the father-in-law of the high priest, then the high priest, and then to Pilate, and then to Herod, and then to Pilate, and then to the cross, where he will be unbound and attached to the cross, and nails will be driven in as he's raised off the ground to die. With his hand, which is about to be bound, our Lord Jesus reaches out. Not a fist to fight, and it's not a finger to condemn, but our Lord Jesus reaches out and heals Malchus. Whether he recoiled from the hand that came forth, we do not know. But his ear, which has been severed, is made whole. And in all the aggression, and in all the agony, and all the adrenaline, there is this amazing healing. You have to picture Malchus. His right ear has been severed. His shirt is covered in blood. There is a pain, a sharp pain in his head, his beard and his hair. And then, in a moment, the injury is gone. And can you picture him with his hand? With his hand, he clutches the side of his head. And there's no injury. And the pain is gone. And yet his hand is covered in blood because the blood that was in his hair is in his hair. And the blood that was in his shirt is on his shirt. And yet there's no injury. And it makes no sense. As he feels in the darkness, and he cannot see, and he cannot feel, because he has been healed. You see the mercy of Jesus Christ. This is not perhaps the most dramatic miracle, because it happens in a moment, on a dark night. And not many around will have seen, the disciples have seen, and it's recorded in the Gospels. And some of the multitude have seen, perhaps, but the vast majority of them haven't. But yet, the mercy of God, because the last man who our Lord healed in his earthly ministry was our enemy, was a man who came to destroy him. Was a man who was full of bitter hatefulness. And the Lord's mercy in healing him, it is not related to anything in Malchus. He's not come by faith. He's not saying, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He's not saying, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Our Lord is not doing anything that resonates with something inside Malchus. It's not to do with the nature of Malchus. But rather it reveals the nature of God. That the man Christ Jesus is gracious and merciful. Here is full and free mercy. Here is the unmerited kindness of God. Between the agony of Gethsemane and of Golgotha, the gentleness of Christ. You see his mercy. This is who he is. He is merciful. He has done no wrong. Malchus was not wronged. And you never have been wronged by him. He is merciful and he is gracious. In verse 52, he rebukes the multitude. He says, why do you come out as an army to arrest you? Arrest me? I spoke to you daily in the temple. He doesn't single out Malchus. He doesn't say, and what about you? It's almost as if it hasn't occurred. But there's Malchus, and there's blood in his shirt. There's Malchus, and there's blood in his hair. And yet, he's been made whole. His mercy. I want to see tonight that it is wrong. It is hateful to dismiss the Lord Jesus Christ, to treat him with contempt. He is everything good. He has done nothing to justify your rejection. He has never wronged you. And here again is revealed to you his power to save. His power to heal the severed ear. his power to heal the broken heart and the sin-sick soul. In this passage we see malice, but we see mercy. I want to go on and to speak about a great mystery. And the great mystery is this: that the gospel is held out to you. When we read in this passage, we can understand maybe that Jesus acted this way at that time to save Peter. Now, if Malchus had not been healed, then surely Peter would have been arrested too. He's just attacked the servant of the high priest. Peter would have been taken, and he too would have been destroyed. But he would have been destroyed for what he had done. So we can understand that our Lord Jesus acted to save Peter. And it's thought that's probably why Peter's not mentioned by Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Because they wrote when Peter was still alive. So there was nothing to incriminate Peter. John wrote after Peter was gone. And so it's possible to reveal that detail. Jesus acted to save Peter. We can understand as well that Jesus acted to save himself, in that his reputation. He was no enemy of the state. He was no rebel who was fighting. He had no blood on his hands. He had not arranged that they would fight back. And all these things that might be said of him had this incident been left. So he graciously prevents any misunderstanding. He saves Peter. You might say he saves himself. You might even say that we can understand that in the mystery of his mercy, he would save Malchus. But the greatest mystery is his readiness to save you. His readiness to save you who've lived with the light of the gospel, and yet, maybe for many years, maybe for a lifetime, I've never surrendered to that gospel and followed Christ. Say, well, Malchus was a bad man. Malchus was there with a gang of bad men. But neither Malchus nor any of these men had the light of revelation that you've been privileged to have. Each one of us here, we see and know far more clearly than they did as to who Christ is and what Christ had done and what Christ would do. We take for granted the gospel privileges we have. And so, to reject Christ in the light of all that revelation reveals a malice, which you might say exceeds that of the multitude and that of Malchus. And that's why I say there is a great mystery. And that great mystery is this: that even tonight, our gracious Lord, as it were, extends his hand, that he might heal you, that he might make you whole, that you might be delivered from your sin. What happened to Malchus? We're not told. Was he converted? We're not told. Did he go home and wash the blood off his shirt and carry on as before? Could you do that? Do you think you could do that? To wash the blood off your shirt, to wash the blood out of your hair, and to carry on. Every so often, the ear is there. There's no scar. There's no mark. It's a perfect healing. It's whole. It works. He hears. He understands. To go on, unaffected, well affected, but yet unchanged. We're not told. But I believe the heart of man is so deceitful. The heart of man is so dark and set against God. I believe it's possible. And I base that upon what I see. Because there's people who have heard the gospel all their days and are as convinced as Malchus was convinced, who you could say have been touched by God. Felix trembled under the preaching of Paul. He knew, no doubt, he knew. But what did he do? He delayed. He waited. The time passed. To go home and wash the blood out of his shirt. Carry on. Maybe a little more circumspect. Maybe a little slower when to join in when the others speak in derision of the Lord Jesus or of his disciples. Maybe standing, listening on the day of Pentecost with a sense of wonderment. But did Malchus remain outside? I don't know. But what about you? What about you? The mystery of God's grace is that he extends his gospel love to you tonight. But will you surrender? Will you submit to that? Will you follow him? Will you live for him? Will you cease to deny him, to refuse him, to resist him? There is malice, but there is mercy. And his mercy is a deep mystery. And yet his mercy is real. And his grace is sufficient. Here is the last man healed physically by our Lord in his earthly ministry. But he's not the last man healed by the Lord, because that goes on today. Because there's many who are spiritually broken, who are made whole. And that work of spiritual healing continues, and it will continue until the very end, until the last one be gathered in. And then Christ himself will come. And this whole created order will be concluded. And then will be the new heavens and the new earth, wherein will dwell righteousness, Christ and his people. And maybe Malchus will be there. But will you be there? One brief moment in that man's life. One brief interaction with Jesus in that man's life. And that's what our lives are like, aren't they? Brief moments passing by. We cannot presume. We cannot delay. We cannot wait. There is an urgency. There is an urgency to come to Christ tonight. The silence of your own heart, as you sit there, to cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Take away my unbelief. Heal the hatred. Cover the sin. Take away the confusion and save me. And save me. Because he is gracious and ready to hear. He is not distant from us. He is present here in our midst. That is his gracious promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name. And that is what we are doing. Here with his word. The Lord is ready to save. So cry out to him tonight. And you will go home with him tonight. And he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. Amen. Let's pray.